The new film, Brittany Runs a Marathon, tells the story of a heavy woman who course-corrects her life in part by losing weight and running the New York City Marathon. It's a classic before-and-after story, like many in pop culture before it, but Kate Brown from Bloomington wants people to know there are other ways to reach a marathon goal and other ways to think about fitness inspiration. Brown is a writer who focuses on pop culture and body image. She recently wrote a piece in Runner's World called What Brittany Runs a Marathon Gets Wrong About Running While Fat. She spoke to WGLT student reporter Jolie Sherman.
And when I saw the trailer, it looked a lot like any other movie or TV show I'd ever seen about someone who might be larger bodied, fat, or overweight, and then they want to get their life in order, and then they turn to running or some other kind of exercise. And my PhD is in autobiographical rhetoric, which means I'm really interested in how people talk and write about themselves, and specifically these before and after success stories that we see everywhere. I read over 300 of them, you know, doing my research, and it looked like the same kind of storytelling that I've been seeing over and over and over again, where body size and quality of life are interconnected, so that the bigger you are, the less quality of life you have, the smaller you are, the better your quality of life. And I saw that happening in the movie.
Reading your article, the very beginning, like, made me emotional, because you expressed yourself that when you go into a running store, people there don't necessarily consider you to be a runner. When you tell them, I'm a runner, what kind of reactions do you get, and how does that make you feel?
Most of the time, it's the scrunchy face and maybe a head cock, like, oh, really? There's a lot of that. Sometimes there's a challenge. People are really worried about me. They say, oh, is that something you should be doing? Did you go to the doctor and have that cleared? You know, there's a little bit of health trolling there. A lot of times, though, people are kind of excited, which is a bit of a juxtaposition. They like that I am a runner. They want me to be out there running, but that's because of the way I look. They're not used to seeing people who look like me, and they don't realize that there are lots of different body types in running. And so I become an inspiration for people, which is a little bit odd because I'm just out here trying to live my life just like everybody else. But the more we see people who go against what we believe about a person who does a certain kind of activity, the more unusual it seems. So sometimes I take these inspirational stories, and when you really break it down, you know, you'll see something like person with cerebral palsy climbs a mountain. And you're like, well, how does that make them any different than anybody else who climbs a mountain just because they have, you know, some kind of what you perceive to be a physical limitation? So those are the top three reactions I get to revealing myself as a runner.
How did you find running, and what inspired you to pick it up as a hobby?
Well, it was during my dissertation research where I was actually studying circus history, and, you know, Bloomington Normal is a great place to do that. And I was really interested in the freak show and how they would sell bodies. You know, we have this idea of the freak show as people being very unusual or out of place, and I wanted to know how they sold that difference as part of the show. And I started noticing patterns between the way that they would sell bodies in the freak show and the way that they would sell bodies in fitness advertising, which is basically you look at someone and you go, oh, they're really fit and wonderful and their life must be so great. And there's a disconnect between you and that person. You say, oh, I want that, so I'm going to do the things that they've done. And I thought, how is this not a freak show? And if it's stories that we're telling about bodies and difference and what normal means, could we change those stories? So I kind of took my own personal research and thought, well, where have I been telling myself that I don't belong? And running was probably the number one, because I had this idea of this is what a body looks like, that, you know, for someone who's a runner, and that is not me. So what if I was wrong about that? And so I showed up at a running event, and that's where I found all different kinds of people who are doing this. And I thought, well, that confirms my suspicion that this is just a story we've been telling. It doesn't actually reflect reality.
How many marathons have you participated in?
That's a great question. I have participated. That's a great way to phrase it too. I've participated in one marathon.
Still, I mean, those are feats. Like, that's a full 26 miles, right?
It's a big deal. I I considered myself a runner. You know, it's kind of like people who write, but they don't consider themselves authors because that's a whole different world, right? And the whole time I was running since 2014, I thought of myself as a runner. And that just meant I would go to training. I mean, regularly, all year long, go to trainings, go to 5Ks, do different kinds of events. But when it came to anything longer than that, I thought, oh no, I can't do that. And then my brother started doing they have these races in Disney, the all kinds of marathon events, and he did the Dopey Challenge, which was 5K, 10K, half, and full for 4 days. And when he told me that, because I don't think would identify as a runner, I thought, well, I can't let you do that alone. I have to be there the next time. What if you get hurt? You know, very big sister of me. So I said, I'm going to do it with you. And I had not run farther than 5 miles before I started training.
Wow.
And so I trained from July to January, and I got the 5K, the 10K, the half, and half of the marathon, which they pulled me for time reasons. I could have kept going. I just didn't quite make the time cut off. So through my training, I've done, you know, countless 5Ks, 4 half marathons, and I'm training again to do the Dopey in 2021. I'm going to get it this time.
I actually want to read a line from your piece. The truth about running while fat is that we are not here to be your before inspiration. We are here to enjoy the endorphin rush, the post-race beverages, and the pride that comes with being able to say, I'm a runner, just like you are. Can you expand on that point that you're trying to make there?
I think that a lot of times when you have fat runners, and fat's kind of a political word, not everybody identifies as that, but if you are running in an unconventional body, it's this idea that people are looking at you to say, well, if they can do it, I can do it. And like you said earlier, that sounds like a really, you know, nice thing to say, but it's actually really hurtful because it kind of undercuts what we're trying to do. And to normalize the idea that there are all kinds of body shape, sizes, and configurations out there running can really collapse that idea that there are before people and after people. You know, we're all out there trying to do this thing. And Runner's World is a publication that's very, it caters a lot to serious runners. And that's who I was speaking to, was the people who maybe out at a race and might want to say something encouraging to someone in an unconventional body, but realizing that, oh wait, they're doing this too. And I think it's also for anybody at any body size, the idea that we all deserve celebrations. You know, just because I look different than you doesn't mean you don't deserve a thumbs up or a great job or a finish strong. I try to say that to everybody that passes me in a race, or I don't say it at all. That's kind of my motto. I'll say it to the people who are passing me because they're first, and the people that I'm passing just as much.
This is Sound Ideas. I'm Jolie Sherman. I'm in the studio with Kate Brown from Bloomington, who recently wrote an article piece for Runner's World called What Brittany Runs a Marathon Gets Wrong About Running While Fat, about her own experiences with body image and fitness. This movie has the potential to be one of those small films that I think hit big. And that means people may be talking about body image and fitness in the coming weeks and months. And so a question I have is, what would you advise, warn, recommend to an audience maybe after watching?
The best thing I think anybody watching the movie or any kind of movie that sports inspiration can do is look at it really closely and then apply that to other viewing experiences that you have. So, for example, and you look at the storytelling, my favorite part about Brittany Runs a Marathon in terms of storytelling is the way they use sweat as a metaphor for her changing her life.
Wow.
And in the beginning, when it's the joke in the trailer, it's basically the whole trailer is making fun of her pace and how hard she's working with her running partner. And she's so sweaty that they comment on it in a video chat with her family. Then she runs her first 5K and she has a little bit of sweat, you know, where you might expect it, like on her chest and back and that. Mm-hmm. And then by the time she runs the marathon, there's no sweat at all. And I think that's so funny. And anyone who's run any kind of distance can tell you that that's not reality. And just to think about what that's saying about effort and change. And I think that, you know, most of our communication, 90% of our communication is through metaphor and imagery. Mm-hmm. So this is something that not only comes up in the stories we tell in the movies, but also the stories we tell in our personal life. So if you're thinking about sweat and effort as an indicator of something, where else do you see that happening? What are the other kinds of stories? And could that story be told a different way? Could the story of Brittany have been told without her losing weight? Absolutely. Because that's the biggest criticism that's coming up for my article and different takes on the movie is that, you know, it's not about weight loss. Well, if it wasn't about weight loss, then she didn't have to lose weight. She could have run with all kinds of people, or we could have seen more larger-bodied or unconventional runners in the movie, but we don't. We see her and her friends and people that we identify as quote-unquote runners. So when we're thinking about moving on and looking at other kinds of media, you know, what's the story that we're being told about who matters and whose voice needs to be heard?
This is not your first foray into writing about body image and pop culture. Far from it, actually. How did you become so passionate about this topic?
I love TV. That's one of the great loves of my life is television. And, you know, coming from that theater background, that circus performance, you know, I love the way that performance activities, so TV, movies, circus, the way that intersects with our real lives. And I believe that all kinds of stories have something to teach us. And if we can write stories and share stories that matter to us, that's going to be a great change in the world. But I think it's because of that realization that, oh, the stories that I see on TV are affecting how I think about myself. That has to be true for other people. And just really bringing to light my literary criticism background is, you know, let's look closely at the stories that we're being told and not just take them for what they are or that we have no control over. A lot of times TV especially is sort of passive. We just sort of receive the stories, but they're really doing important work in our lives. So let's take a little agency over them and see what's going on. I have a book coming out about the Golden Girls, which is a sitcom from the 80s and 90s. And a lot of people say, well, what does that have to do with body image? And it's like, well, age and television, you know, what are we being told about how women are supposed to live later in their lives? And they have a great episode on dieting that I'm really excited to write about in the future.
Exciting.
But, you know, again, if that's the only show that shows us what older life can be, then we need to tell some more stories. So
sure
let's
do.
Get them out there.
Yeah. What's the Body Positive Fitness Alliance? What do you do as the vice president there?
Oh, the Body Positive Fitness Alliance is a professional resource for fitness professionals and other types of folks who want to take a different kind of approach to running their businesses and marketing and connecting with others who believe that fitness should be inclusive and for everybody. So it's this professional organization. Our whole goal is to change the way fitness is perceived and what people expect when they go into a fitness space. So I'm the vice president of communications. I do a lot of media interviews and I do a lot of writing for our online program, which is a program that is based on the pillars of inclusive fitness, like accessibility, full health, scope of practice, and really reframing the way that fitness professionals think about their role as part of a team of health and wellness professionals for individual people. And I think that's a really important way to think about fitness, because a lot of times when we go purchase products and services related to fitness, it's very individual. It's like, I'm going to change my life. I'm going to hire a trainer. I'm going to do this and that and the other thing. And when you really think about it, how much fun is community-based fitness? You know, if you have a social group that you like, or, you know, you have your trainer and your dietitian and your therapist, I mean, this whole group of people supporting you, I think, is a really fun and effective way to think about health and wellness. So a lot of the work we do is reversing that storytelling and saying that this isn't just an individual thing, that this is something that should be available to everyone. So let's help fitness professionals make that possible for as many people as we can.
What can you say to audiences who are trying something new but can't seem to get past the voices that are saying, no, you can't, you're not fit for this, you know, you don't match that image for this kind of activity or sport or whatever the case may be?
That's a great question. I'm glad you asked it, because it is perfectly normal to think that. I mean, these stories are coming at us from every angle, all the time. It's just incessant. And it's great to start with yourself and say, you know, if I believe this, that I'm having these thoughts or this voice that says I don't belong here, why do I have that? And then maybe identifying a couple of places like, well, every time I go to the doctor's office, I see magazines that talk about weight loss. Okay, well, there's a place where that message is hitting me. When I ran my first race, it was the Lake Run, sponsored by the Lake Run Club. It was 4.37 miles. I thought I was training for a 5K. So imagine my surprise on race day when this race is a lot longer than I had planned for. I had a panic attack, a real panic moment. I didn't think I was going to finish. And the voice that kept coming up in my head was, you don't belong here, you don't belong here, you don't belong here. And this was after I had already done some of the work of challenging that and writing so much about challenging these stories, and it still happened to me. It still does sometimes if I'm in a new situation. So, yeah, identifying the stories is one thing. Trying to counter them is another, but also giving yourself some grace that this is happening for everybody because we're all swimming in the same water. Even your trainers are part of this message and they have some of these beliefs. So as best you can, remember that you're allowed to change the story and then say, I do belong here. I am capable of this and I'm going to find the support I need to make it work.
That's Kate Brown from Bloomington, who recently wrote a piece for Runner's World called What Brittany Runs a Marathon Gets Wrong About Running While Fat, about her own experiences with body image and fitness. I'm Jolie Sherman.
You can find a link to Kate Brown's piece in Runner's World at our website, wglt.org. Brittany Runs a Marathon was released by Amazon last month.